Hey, you want that to go?
Now it's time for some takeouts on news that we're following this week. And in a new book, it is reported that Senator Harry Reid said Barack Obama could become the first black president because he has light skin and has, quote, no Negro dialect unless he wanted to have one. For more on how this is playing out in Washington, we're joined now by the Takeaway Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, Celeste.
Here's Dianne Feinstein's response to this crisis.
All of us are imperfect. Clearly, this was a mistake. Clearly, the leader misspoke. He has also apologized.
Okay, so Todd, he misspoke and he already apologized, so there will be no political fallout for the Democrats now.
Well, I don't know about no political fallout. It's too early to tell, of course, but Dianne Feinstein was the only Democrat, I think, to appear on national television on the Sunday shows this morning, and I guess she only has one wagon, Celeste, but she did circle it around Harry Reid. I did get in touch with some high-ranking Democratic officials from the Senate over the weekend, and their consensus seems to be that passing health care right now is the priority, and no one wants anything to get in the way of that. They also all said, and it's possible they've all agreed to say this, but that Harry Reid has earned a certain amount of respect on racial issues, and that this comment, while stupid, while unfortunate, poorly chosen words, nobody is really doubting Harry Reid's views on race. So at least in the halls of the Senate so far, there doesn't seem to be a lot of fallout for Harry Reid's leadership. You know, weeks can pass and we'll see what really happens, but everybody really thinks that passing the health care reform bill, as complicated as it is politically, is the priority, that if that doesn't pass, it's a disaster for Democrats. So they don't want to let a leadership crisis get in the way of that.
But could we get to the point where Michael Steele, chairman of the GOP, drums up enough resentment that Harry Reid would have to step down?
Sure. You can get to that point. Absolutely. You know, Michael Steele calling for Harry Reid's resignation yesterday, I think, was playbook politics. You would expect the Republican chairman of the RNC, an African-American himself, to call for that. I don't think that was much of a surprise. You know, Harry Reid is a little bit lucky, as bad as these remarks may have been. I think he's a little bit lucky, A, that he didn't say it in front of a television camera. He said it in a book. And B, that senators are out of town. They're still on break. The Senate really functions on relationships when senators get together in a room, and they won't do that at all until next week, ironically after the observance of the Martin Luther King holiday. I think it'll be interesting to see how the Senate observes that day given these remarks, but senators are out of town, they're separated, and so far no one is calling for Harry Reid's head, so that's good news for him.
Okay, thanks so much, Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent.
Our next takeout comes from Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway sports contributor, who, and I'm going to throw you a curve, Ibrahim, right at the top. Were you surprised to learn that you're more likely to be president if you're a light-skinned African-American with no Negro dialect?
Coming from Brooklyn, I'm definitely not likely to be president.
Yeah, you're disqualified if it's Brooklyn, that's for sure. Well, it was a wild card weekend in the NFL. Both Saturday and Sunday had games, and the late game last night was the Cardinals against the Green Bay Packers.
Shotgun snap, Rodgers dropping back, in trouble, Rodgers hit, ball came out, Cardinals have it, Dansby, he's going to score,
no.
Cardinals win, they're going to New Orleans!
And that was it, the final play. The Cardinals won 51-45 in overtime. Why did the Cardinals just sort of like win in an instant like that?
Well, this brings up an interesting, applying pressure to the quarterback makes wide receivers scramble as they try and get open, and offensive tackles grab and scrape guys and potentially get a hold, and it also makes quarterbacks make bad decisions. In the first play of the game, Aaron Rodgers scrambled to get open, scrambled out of the pocket, and he threw an errant pass, and he got an interception. That play was similar to this play. Pressure came from the Cardinals' defense. It crushed in on Aaron Rodgers, and he made a mistake. He let the ball fumble out, and that's when, well, Michael Adams hit him, and then Carlos Dansby just scooped it up and did what he's supposed to do.
No margin for error in overtime. It's sudden death when he crossed that line into the end zone. That was the end.
It's true, and it was the highest scoring game in NFL history.
In playoff history, 51-45.
It was a shootout.
Speaking of shootouts, it was a humiliation of the Patriots, the New England Patriots.
That was the end of an era. You know, you want to talk about the New England Patriots and Tom Brady being this perfect and flawless quarterback, but he looked pretty weak. His balls were like flopping all over end over end. He didn't look like the sharpshooter that we know him to be.
And the Baltimore Ravens scored twice early, and the question is, can they match up against the Indianapolis Colts in their game next week?
The way that their running game is playing and the way that their defense is playing, their running game keeps the pressure off of their defense, and it makes them a really difficult team to play at this point in time. Ray Rice, the Rutgers product, he's playing amazing as a running back. He's playing amazing football.
And Favre plays the Dallas Cowboys, perhaps the hottest team in the NFL right now.
That will be a defensive game. Watch.
Okay. America's team versus a legend. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks so much.
Our next takeout is a weather takeout, and if you have stepped outside and you're in the eastern seaboard somewhere, you know it's been cold, especially down south and in Florida. It's affecting crops. It's affecting wildlife. And Robert Ortovec is here from the National Weather Service to explain what's going on. Robert, we are definitely into uncommon territory right now, right?
Yeah, it's been very cold across a good part of the country, and one thing that's really stood out about this cold pattern is it's been very persistent. We've had a persistent flow out of the north and northwest across at least the eastern two-thirds of the country. And whenever we have the flow out of the northwest, we keep the flow from coming off the ocean. And when the flow comes off the ocean, we generally have milder temperatures across the United States. But right now, the flow has been mostly out of the northwest. We've had persistent cold weather. It's been relatively cold or below average temperatures now for several weeks, starting out in the middle or later part of December and continuing now into the first few weeks of January.
Oh, so when is it going to warm up?
Well, actually, it looks like we're going to have a pretty significant pattern change across the continental U.S. in that the winds will be coming more out of the west, from west to east, and when they blow from west to east, they come more off the ocean. And since the ocean covers most of the world, whenever the wind blows more from the ocean, it has a much more great moderating effect, especially on our temperatures. So it looks like the stretch of very cold temperatures is coming to an end. And actually, this morning, temperatures across the northern plains, which have been well below zero over the past week or so, are relatively mild.
Getting warmer this week. Thanks so much. That's Bob Ortovec, meteorologist at the National Weather Service.